I know mama think it's her, but she not. She mine. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this great opportunity. I am so honored that you give me another opportunity to speak to your people. And so, Lord, whenever we have an opportunity to serve, we're so grateful for it. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask you to touch the hearts and minds of everyone that's out there, all those on the airways, those who are listening to my voice. Let their heart be transformed because of you. It's all because of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Love anchored. All right. This is important. This is a very, very important message. So I've been really dealing with the matters of the heart, and it's important that we understand the heart and the significance of it. Just a reminder again, today we're going to be doing, they're going to be doing a walk. Starting at Angel. What time is it again? 1 to 5. It starts at 1 o'clock at Angel Community Church. They're going to be doing the walk for fentanyl. The walk for fentanyl, right? And so it's just not about fentanyl. It's really about all the other drugs and everything that's really infiltrating our community. It's been doing it for a long time, and it's really put us at a disadvantage, right? And so it's important for us to stand up and stand strong and let the community know and the world know that we're against those things, right? And we just ask God to open up the hearts. Everybody say the hearts. The hearts of men and women that have a greater love for God, because when they have a greater love for God, they have a greater love for community. And when you have a greater love for community, you don't do things to really destroy the community. Drugs destroy the community. When you're selling drugs and you're doing things in the community, we're literally losing lives. Tracy would call me and she'd be crying because we have so many teenagers committing, that's ODing and dying in the emergency room because they've OD'd. People are so evil and so cruel, right? They're lacing so much stuff. And it's just, it's sad because people get you addicted and then they take advantage of you, right? But that's what the enemy does. Everybody say, that's what the enemy does. But he can only do it if you have a dark heart. Everybody say, he can only do it if you have a dark heart. Right? So it's important, we're gonna be kind of talking about the importance of your heart as an anchor, right? As an anchor, right? So love is the anchor, right? So it's important to talk about my experience. I had a friend named Cortine Gooden. He went to church with me at Holy Trinity, and Cortine used to fish. And so Sam, I understand fishing, so I don't do it anymore because I was so excited because Cortine had a nice fishing boat, and he took me fishing. Now, my mother used to take me fishing when I was a kid, and we used to fish with a cane pole, right? For those who are older know what a cane pole is. They use reels now, but it was a cane pole. And so we would get in the boat sometime. My mom had friends, and they would take us out on the boat. My mama didn't go on the boat, but my friends, they would take us out on the boat when we were little kids, and they would always take an anchor, and they would get out so far, and they would put the anchor down, right? And then we would fish, and the boat would stay there, and we would fish. And I'm like, hey, you know, it was fun and all that. So now I'm an adult. Fast forward, I'm an adult, a deacon at the church, and one of the deacons at the church said, man, I want to take you out on the boat ride. So we got on the boat, and we went out in the water, and I was kind of afraid because I couldn't really swim like that, right? I can swim really good now, but at the time I couldn't swim, and I didn't have a life jacket. So I was real big, right? So since I was big and fat, I was the life jacket. Right? So when you're fat, you just float. So I ain't need no life jacket, right? Y'all laughing, that's the truth, right? So it really is the truth, right? So I figured I was the life jacket. So we got way out in Lake Michigan. He was flying, whoo, I said, man, please stop. And we got in the middle of the lake, and he stopped the boat. I said, thank you, Jesus, right? I said, now listen, man, drop the anchor. He said, what am I gonna drop the anchor for? I said, because when the boat stops, so the boat won't move. He said, man, I don't have an anchor long enough to get to the bottom of the water, or bottom of the ocean. Well, he said, the bottom of the lake. I said, but you got to have an anchor so the boat won't move. I didn't understand what he was talking about, right? But I want to read something to you, all right? It said, the purpose of a boat anchor is to secure a vessel in a stationary position by embedding itself into the seabed and resisting the forces of wind and current, thus preventing the boat from doing what? Drifting. So the purpose of the anchor is to make sure the boat don't drift off, right? So when we're in the middle of the ocean, or the middle of the lake, it felt like an ocean to me, but it was Louisiana Lake, Michigan, right? I thought he can drop an anchor, but it wasn't going to do nothing because it wasn't going to stop the boat from moving, right? And he was just laughing at me, thought it was so funny. I didn't think it was funny because I was way out there without a life jacket, and I was afraid what was going to happen with the boat. But the moral of the story is that when you understand the significance of the anchor and how important the anchor is, think about the anchor in your life. What is the thing that stops you or settles you down? What is the thing that keeps you grounded, right? When you're dealing with a lot of issues and a lot of circumstances and a lot of situation, the thing that really, that God designed for us to keep us grounded was love. Love is the very thing that really brings us solid because it helps us over a lot of situations and a lot of circumstances. And love really resides in the heart of man. It doesn't reside in the brain of man. It resides in the heart of man. So your heart is magnetic, right? And your heart is really controlled with all your emotions, right? So when your emotions out of whack, right, it'll throw everything out of whack, right? But if you watch it, your emotions are going to play with your heart, right? And if your heart is all shook up, it's going to mess up your emotions. But when your heart is right, it'll regulate your emotions, right? So they really, really work together as a unit, right? So now it's important to understand that the heart is an anchor of love, right? And this is important. But love is the very thing that locks down, right? But it's located in the heart, right? It's not located in your brain, right? So your brain sends out the electrical currents, but your heart is the magnetic field. So your heart gives the magnetic field. That's why they say what comes from the heart touches the heart. So the heart sends out a magnetic field that may spread out 15 to 20, 30 feet. And that's why you can feel somebody before they even get to you, right? And it's important that you can go in a room and you can feel the presence of the room. You can feel the shift when things happen. And I don't care what somebody tell you with their lips, their heart is going to tell the truth. They can tell you all kind of stuff. They say, hey, listen, I'm so glad you're working for me. I'm so excited. But their heart is going to tell the truth, right? So, and it's important because your heart is not going to trick you. It's going to show up and it's going to show out, right? And that's important, and we're going to talk about that, right? Now, so it's important, right, Listen what Jesus was saying. Everybody said Jesus. So Jesus, who was the Messiah, who came down to give us some directions, right, and guidance on how we should move, right? He said this. He was dealing with some people who called themselves believers, who said they had a relationship with God. Everybody said it. Who said? They talked about they love God. They talked about how much they love him and how important God was in their life and how they worship him and all these. They followed all the rituals and all those different things. But there was an issue, so Jesus had to address the issue, right? Now, this is not directed at nobody else. It's directed at the world, right? So he's trying to tell us something, right? But here's how he addressed them. He says, you broad vipers. He says, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? This is what he says. You vipers. He said, you snakes. You're a snake in the grass. That's what he said. He said, you're swiveling around here, man, trying to fool people, right? He said, you're vipers. How can you, who are evil? He's telling you, man, he know your heart. Jesus said, I know man's heart. I don't trust nobody because I know their heart. That's what Jesus said in Scripture. He says, watch this here. How can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth, everybody said the mouth, speaks what the heart is full of. I don't care what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Now, if you want to find out, well, really, some people can play games with you, man, because they're very intellectual, right? So they can talk. But all you have to do is get them riled up. If you get them riled up, whatever's in the heart is coming out. Now, here's what they're going to say. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it. But you need a heart transplant. Because your heart is telling on you. Because when a person gets too happy, right, their heart is going to show up. If a person gets too angry, their heart is going to show up. Right? And watch what he says now. He says, for the mouth speaketh what the heart is full of. The mouth only speaks what's in the heart. It doesn't speak what's in the head. It speaks what's in the heart. Right? Then he says this. A good man, everybody say good man. Now, he's not talking about me as a man. He's talking about the humanity as a man. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in them. So whatever is stored up in you is coming out. Whatever is stored up in you is coming out, right? Now, it's important. Don't miss this here. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in them. Right? Now, it's important because you got to check your heart. Because whatever your heart is anchored in, right, it's going to ground you, and that's how you're going to move. Now, you can put on a suit and look good. Right? I can get up here and shout all I want. I can preach the gospel. But with either the abundance of the heart, the mouth going to speak. Right? And the thing is, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. But if your conversation is this on a continuous basis, if you always doing this and this is happening, you need to check in on yourself and say, I'm off base. Something's wrong. Somebody, somewhere is gone wrong. Right? And so here's the thing. Love is going to tell it. Because love don't hurt nobody. Love don't hurt nobody. Now, I'm not saying when you love somebody, you don't make mistakes and you don't hurt people indirectly, but you don't intentionally do it. Hear me well. You don't intentionally hurt nobody when your heart is right. But if my intent is to hurt you, that's my intent, then I need to check my heart. I don't need to check the way I think. I got to check my heart. I got to figure out what's going on in my heart because my heart is a wreck, right? All of us have issues in life. That's why Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. He said, because your sin nature is really an enemy against God. So you have to really be born again. What he's saying is you got to have a transformation. He said you can't just go to church, Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was already a ruler of the Jews, right? And so he was already one of the top guys. He said it's not about just going to church and knowing the ritual and all that. He said you got to have a transformation of the heart. He said you can't put on a show. You can't go around standing in front of everybody and talk all this stuff and wear your robes and put on your gown. He said, no, it's not about that. What matters is what's in your heart. He said, so you need to die to you and come alive to God. Right? It's so many of us in here have the testimony, what I used to be, I'm that no more. When God changed my life, he changed my course. I am what I am because I gave my life to Christ, and it changed my walk. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have some issues. Now, listen, I'm not talking about people that may be addicted to something and all that, because sometimes you get addicted to some things, and those things grab a hold of you. But watch this here. You can be addicted to things, but your heart can still be right. Right? It's important. Now, you can mess around and give the devil space. You let the enemy come in through something, and it, I remember I used to go to school with some kids, and they said, man, listen, I got to get high, because if I give me a couple drinks in me, you know, then I'm all right. I'm chilling, right? They needed some chemical substance to transform them to be somebody else, right? And so, and because they had something, the chemicals was a mood-altering chemical. Some things would change your mood, and it changed the way you behave. So you can't just take anything in your body and think you're going to be all right, because you're not. Because eventually, some things will change your heart. And you'll turn even on your parents. That's why you have kids killing their parents, stealing from their parents, robbing their parents, right? Beating their parents, right? Now, so it's important. Now, the heart is a symbol of our deepest emotion. Everybody say our deepest emotion. It's also our capacity to love and our connections to one another. Because when God created us, he created all of us to be connected. Nobody is better than another. Now, we get into racism and sexism and all that kind of stuff. But when you really put all that stuff aside and pull the blanket off, man, we all pretty much the same. Right? And so a lot of us, my friend, my god sister, Kim LeBell, had bought this dresser. And I told her I'm going to steal this from her, right? And I'm going to preach the whole sermon on it. I'm going to write a whole sermon from it. But she bought this dresser at a yard sale. You'll appreciate this. She bought this dresser, and it was old. And she said, ooh, it looks so beautiful. She said, I want this in my house. Now, you got to know Kim, right? So she bought it. And she says, she called me Stoop. She says, Stoop? She said, do you have a sander? I said, yeah. She said, I need to sand it down, and I need to strip it. I know you have some information on woodwork and all that, so I need to strip it. So she called me the other day. She said, Stoop. I said, what? She said, I stripped that thing down. It had some blue paint, some green paint, some yellow paint, some red paint. She said, and I kept on, and it was just, I kept on, and every time I stripped one strip off, it was another color. And then it was another color. She said, then I had to go get some special tools, because once I got down into it, the paint was getting into the holes and grooves, and it created dents, and I had to smooth the dents out and all that. She said, man, it was so much. She said, you know what God told me? She said, that's how we are. He said, we come in the world, and it was a beautiful piece of furniture until we start putting stuff on top of it. And we come in here, man, we got all this junk in our life. And they just keep adding things on. And we add our culture on. And we add this on. And we add, next thing you know, we're a mess. The thing that got is so deep, it's so deep rooted in us. And there's so many layers that I'm mad and angry and acting crazy when it's not, I can't even get to the source. I don't even know where it started. I just know I don't like you. I don't understand why I don't, right? But it's so deep. That's why you have to have a therapist. That's why God created a therapist, because you had to go deep. And if you don't get it fixed, you would destroy everything and everybody in your path. Right? Now, the beauty of it, I had a computer, and I'm a photographer. And my computer crashed, right? Now, what happened was it got overloaded and a virus got a hold to it. So I had to take my computer to a computer repair person. And they went in and cleaned up my computer. And it worked like it was brand new. You know what they did? They cleaned it, stripped it back down to the beginning, right? It took me back. Listen, that's what the born-again experience it is for you in your life. That's the antivirus system. The Holy Spirit got to come into you and clean you up and take you back. But if you don't take the time to peel those layers off, You don't spend time, if you don't think it's important enough to peel those layers off, you're going to destroy you and everybody else in your path because your heart is all screwed up. Right? And so you got to put some effort in. You got to spend some time in God. You got to spend some time in Bible study. You got to be in your small group. You got to do your devotion. You got to study. You got to do all these things to clean your life up because you got to peel this stuff off. It's so much stuff in your life. And here's the thing. It ain't just them. It's you too. You know, a lot of times we want to find the fault in everybody else. Well, they need to get straightened up. No, I got some layers in my life too. So what we got to do the thing that helped me with Ardina was we got married in 1986, that we did all our Bible studies together. We was in Sunday school, we was in Bible study, we was in YPWW, we was in Friday night service. They switched to Thursday night service. We went to Thursday night service and Sunday night service. We went to everything together for almost 30 years, right? We did everything together. So what happened was we had to peel these things because we had so many layers. And so the thing to help you sanctify it is we had to keep going to the Word of God. They kept pulling up. Otherwise, I would have bust her head and she would have bust mine. Because I got some problems and she do too. You know, we all come to the junk, come to the house with junk in the trunk. And we got all these layers on us. And the Holy Spirit, as you spend time in the Word, you know, that's why I tell you, that's why we have marriage couples and all marriage ministries. Oh, I don't want to come to marriage. You ain't got to come. I talk to you when you need counseling. Because you're going to need it. You need all those things because all these other things that come. I can't even watch a show on TV without she cheated on him and how they killed him and they secretly did this. Everything you watch on TV, if it ain't the Hallmark Channel, somebody cheating on somebody or somebody killing somebody. Hold on, wait. Now, y'all, we laughing. But remember that everybody that writes the movies is writing from their heart. They're writing from a dark heart. And they putting those dark thoughts, you know, you say, man, that's good. That's real interesting because you dark too. And your heart is magnetic. And it's drawing you to it. You can't let go of it. And next thing you find yourself talking like them, walking like them. I'm going to be a baller with $2. Right? You know, you see what I'm saying? You want to be ghosts with no money. Right? And listen, this is real talk. So, but the thing is, so God gives us his heart inside of us. But he know we got to be born again. He know that this sin nature is such a battle. And Paul said, there's a warning. Paul's trying to tell us there's a warning in my members. Whenever I desire to do good, evil is what? Always present. Now, this is important. So love as an anchor, so I can get through this thing. Love as an anchor symbolizes that love provides stability. Everybody say stability. Security. And a sense of grounding in life's challenges. We're going to have life challenges. But love, the heart and love, helps us with that, right? Preventing us from drifting. Everybody's from drifting. Or being overwhelmed by the storms that arise in our lives. We all going to have some storms. If you haven't seen a storm, stick around, it's coming. Some of us been through it and came out of it. Some of us on our way in it. Some of us are in it. Right? But the thing that can help you while you're in the middle of the storm is love. So when you anchored in love, when you're in the middle of a storm, man, you won't cut your kid's head off. Right? You won't cuss your boss out. Not when love is your anchor. Now, because God is love. That's why our relationship with God is so crucial. And your relationship with the Holy Spirit is so crucial. That's why the Christ part or the Spirit of God in our life is so important. Because without it, we'd be talking loud and saying nothing. And we're not going to get along. We can't get along, right? I'm going to sell you some drugs. I'll steal from you. I can't wait to get you. I'm going to catch you slipping. I don't care if you are my best friend. Your best friend is running a hustle on you. The one you really thought, you said, I know they got me. They got you all right because their heart is dark. And those who have clean hearts know it hurts when somebody you thought had a good heart and you find out the heart was really dark. And you get angry about it, right? So let's deal with this thing, right? Everybody say love is patient. Love is patient. Now listen to me. So when you're anchored in God, and if we want to change this thing, listen, I don't care what's going on in your job. I don't care what's going on in your house. Forget about your spouse. Think about you. This ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. It's got to do with me, right? Love is patient. That means I want people to be patient with me when I mess up, right? But that also applies to the other person I'm working with. I need to be patient with them too. Love will make you be patient. Love will say, listen, love give you grace. Love will give you grace. Patience, and it's kind. Now, so when you nasty and you rude and you arrogant and cocky and think you somebody, check your heart. Because love is getting away from you. Something else is running your life. You know, I love everybody. That's why Jesus said love is different. Because love, you don't have to like somebody and you'll still do right by them. When you love, I don't have to like you, but because of love, I do right by you. And I'll be patient with you because love will make me see you in me. So when you're messing up, I realize love will make me see, you know what? Don't you do it. Don't you dare judge them. When you've been through the same, don't you dare. So now I'll be patient with you, but I'll also be kind to you. I'm sick and tired of you. You blankety blank blank, blue, you know. And listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen, you ain't got to talk about nobody else. This is an inside job. So when I lose it and I mess up, I ain't talking to nobody. This is me. I said, I made this mistake. This is on me. I'm the one snapped. Well, she made me mad. No, she didn't. I didn't do nothing. It was me. I didn't only control my emotions. I did that because I'm something wrong with me, so I better do an inside job. I need to go inside and figure out what on God's green earth, because there's no way God would have reacted like this. There's no way God. Ain't no way he would. So if I'm acting like this here, then I got to say, man, where is my relationship with him? Where is my relationship? I need to stop going to music. God, help me, because I'm sick. And I need a doctor. And you're the doctor. But no, we don't do that. We like, oh, they better check me out. They don't know who I am. They better check my records, check my resume. Your resume will get you killed or locked up. Or better yet, nobody want to be around you. No relationship, no nothing. People cut you off like water, right? And so it's important. So love is patient and it's kind. Then Paul started, as he's writing, Paul said, but love is not jealous. So why? If I'm jealous of somebody, then I got to check my heart. I got to check my thermometer inside here. Because why am I jealous of you? For what? Because you got a better car that I can't even afford to buy? Because you got a watch I can't even afford to buy? Because you living in a house that neither one of us can afford? And you faking it? So why am I jealous? Because you made the team? When I know I didn't practice? But I'm jealous? Love is never jealous. Love encourages you. Love try to figure out what's going on with you and try to come alongside you. Right? It says, and it's not both. I'm not bragging. I'm proud. I'm arrogant. I'm this and I'm that. Love doesn't do that. It doesn't. You know, you don't. So if you going around and bragging about who you are and what you got and all this here, just hang around. Trump gonna take it all. Right? So, you know, y'all laughing. There's a lot of people have lost their jobs who were going around thought they were somebody. They had high positions, and some people was walking around, you think you're somebody. You're nobody outside of God. Because all of us are connected. It's only about relationships, right? So he says, love is not. So if I'm telling you, now if love is anchoring me, then I don't have to be jealous of you, whatever. Because like, if I don't show no jealousy, Fox, you know, I'm glad you got the coaching job. Now I may ask you, can you get me in the game for free? You see what I'm saying? Can you give me a ticket on the side? But I ain't jealous of you. You know, what I'm jealous of for? Because you got the job, well, you got the skill set. Right? And then and he don't have time to be bragging. He can't go back to the Heights, man, listen, I'm on the short, bro. I'm on the short. And now what? It don't mean a hill of beans, except God bless you to be over some other people so you get to represent him with the other people. Don't think you somebody special because you're doing that. He just lets you use your gift. Kaya, he just gave you the gift to cook. You can't, well, I can cook better than all the people downtown. No, you can't. I just made you real good. You're not better than everybody else. You just real good. Right? He said, if you serve the people, they're going to keep on saying you good. The minute you say you good, then your business going to start dropping. The minute you start bragging about you, everything start going down. Because you say, I'm the one, I can do this here. You know, because the world said, you gotta promote you. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, all you got to do is serve. I don't have to promote you. All I got to do is serve you. If I serve you, you're going to tell everybody else. Everybody else going to brag about you, how good you are. Right? You don't have to do all that. Now listen, he said, or rude. Everybody said, or rude. Love is not rude. Some of you guys are snotty and nasty. You rude, right? He said, it does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. God had to show me that with Ardina. I told you guys that in a sermon, right? When I just told Ardina, she was just making up stuff. I told her, quit making it up. I said, prove it. Show me one time. God said, shut up. No, listen, he said, shut your mouth because you did it, except love don't keep score. So she can't even remember because she was never keeping score because she loved you. But when you don't love somebody, you're trying to figure out what they did. When you start to keep the score, then you already know, man, love is, it ain't love. It's something else. It's selfishness. Because love don't keep no record of wrong. Doesn't keep record. Everybody said it doesn't keep record wrong. Right? Now, it says, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Right? It doesn't brag about it should have happened to him. They don't worry about injustice. God gonna pay every man who do something wrong, gonna have to pay the piper. I was listening to Charleston White. He says, you know, I don't believe in karma. I don't believe in karma. I did all this here. I knocked these people in the head, and I did. I said, just you ain't done living yet, son. You just not done yet. You not done living yet. I said, don't brag too fast. You know, I know we want to get some YouTube numbers, and we trying to get people to watch us. But the universe is gonna get you, right? And so it's important that you don't rejoice in injustices. Then here's the thing, and I'm done. Right? Love never, never gives up. Love, I'm not giving up on you. Love never gives up. Somebody told me once when I was dealing with something with my son, right? They said, well, you just need to let him. I wanted to fight. You telling me to give up on my son? You lost your mind? You know why you told me that? You know why they told me that, Fox? Because they didn't love him. And you, it's easy, you tell me, just let him do it, because he ain't yours, because you don't love him. But when you love somebody, you don't give up on them. So you know they're going through something, right? Because, listen, because somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody did, but somebody didn't give up on you. It's some people didn't give up on you. Right? Right? He said, and you never, ever lose faith. You always got to know that God got this. So if I know God got it, my love, because I'm anchored in love, I'm going to ride with you. I don't have to agree with you, but I got to be, because everybody, I don't care how bad it is, somebody needs somebody to put their arm around them. Because all of us have done some things, and we was in the mirror. We looked in the mirror with nobody else around. And you said, man, if I just had one person, man, just be in my corner right now. If you get a phone call, I remember, DeAndre, something happened. And I ain't gonna say, I'm just saying, DeAndre know what I'm talking about. And I called DeAndre. I said, DeAndre, but you need to call him. She said, I don't want, I said, you just need to. Because sometimes people just need to hear you. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to be around them. You don't have to, nothing, right? But you don't have to hate them. See what I'm saying? And somebody just needs to know you love them. And I may say, hey, listen, I can't roll with you now. You know, I remember I had a friend who got in some serious trouble, and I was AD, and he was AD before me, and he got in trouble, and he had molested a girl and got in trouble. And then they called me, he was my right-hand man. I looked him in the eye. I said, bro, I said, I can't roll with you on this one, man, but I love you. I said, I love you, man. I said, I got you, but I can't go to no rallies on your behalf. But I love you. I just want you to know I got your back, but I ain't going right there with you. Right? Because you got to pay the piper for what you did. Right? And I ain't gonna hate you like everybody else and not have nothing to do with you. Right? It's important that you never give up and never ever lose faith. And because I say, God, and man, did he ever make a comeback? God, if I told everybody here to stand up and who God has turned your life around, everybody would stand up. All of us have been in a space, man, where it should have been over. I don't care how successful you are. You've been in a place, man, where it should have been over. But God, you're in a better space. So he says, love is always hopeful. I believe that you can pull it through this, man. Ain't no, I remember I was talking to a pastor one time, and he was dealing with some people. He said, man, I don't mess with them married couple. He said, they ain't going to change. I said, I believe there is. I said, so I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to give them everything I got to. I ain't got nothing else to give. Because I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. And you got to be hopeful that he can pull it off. Even though it don't look like he's going to pull it off, you got to believe he's going to do it. Your love, the love in you, believe in God. That's why he said about faith, right? Never lose faith, right? And he says, and love endures through every circumstance. Everybody say every circumstance. Listen, I don't care what somebody is. Listen, this is the wrap up. Right? Every single person in this building has done something that if the people had known about it, they would never talk to you again. Your parents would be embarrassed. But God shielded you from it. He put the blanket over you. And nobody ever saw it. And you did it with somebody who they forgot about it. Because they love you. They forgot it even happened. Right? So you as a person got to remember this here. Love endures through every circumstance. So whatever somebody's going through, if you're grounded in love, that's why you got to have God in your life. You don't have to come to church, but you better have a church in you. Right? You better have it in you. Because if you don't, you're going to lose hope in people. You're going to think there's no. I was telling Brother Derek, I was riding the car with him, he let me ride in his Lincoln with him. I was riding at the end of the day. And he was telling me, he said, Pastor Durham, he said, this world is a mess. He said, man, and these people do this, blah, 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 and they messed us up a long time ago. And blah, blah, blah. I said, Derek, I said, but look at us now. I said, so whatever they thought they was doing, it didn't work. Right? We in so much better shape than we are now than we were then. Right? And so God has brought us through it. Now, if you're in the middle of something, if you hang on to God, he's there with you in it. Listen, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right in the middle of the mess with you. He just wants you to hold on to his unchanging hand. Right? And as you hold on to his unchanging hand, the way you treat people, the way you interact with people, people get to see God in your life. You know, Kaya's at church today. I did Kaya's aunt's funeral the other day, and I was trying to show how God worked through her aunt. And how nobody ever saw it. That's what God was doing. But God worked through us every single day. So I challenge you today. I challenge you. Right? Remember, said love is enduring, it's persistent. I said, listen, we never retaliate on anybody. Ever said never retaliate. Right? In the midst of challenges or mistakes or miscues or slights, whatever, never retaliate on anybody because God got this. Say it again. He says, vengeance is mine. He said, just hold your horses and know that everything is going to be all right. Now, so if you're not grounded in love, if you're not anchored in love, then you have to ask yourself a question. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to get there? I need to accept God into my life and ask him to really be the Lord of my life. And I need to be born again. Because if I'm not born again, if I don't get rebirthed and have a new mindset, a new way of thinking, if I don't change my heart and have a heart transplant, that's what Paul says, have a heart transplant, the circumcision of the heart. Ladies, you got to have a heart circumcision. Peel that old layer off so everybody can see your heart and flesh. Everybody stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for allowing your spirit to be present in our life at all times. We ask you, Lord, to give us a greater desire and a greater passion to learn more about you and give us a greater desire to reflect you and represent you as we interact with other people. Lord, if we're doing anything that's contrary to you that we know is not right, if we're doing anything to hurt anyone, Lord, bring it to our attention now and give us the heart to be transformed. So, Lord, I ask you to transform some hearts today. Rededicate some lives today. Let today be the day that they will ever remember that you changed them. Lord, it's not about shouting, we know it. I know you don't care about us dancing and all that. You care about us treating people right and representing you as we interact with people. Don't let us divide. Let us unite. We love you so much. And Lord, as we come to the altar, those who like prayer and those who want to rededicate their life, we ask you, don't let them be ashamed. And as those who lead in this place, let your presence be with them as they leave. Give them the strength and the power to be reflective in everything they do. I thank you so much for this service. I thank you so much for every person who made a decision in their heart to change their heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, the altar is open for those who'd like to be a part of Kingdom MC family, or if you want prayer. Otherwise, you can see yourself dismissed. God bless you. And we'll see you next Sunday.